It's a Monday on Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad you're here. The stunning worldwide growth of mobile communications means the industry is hungry for more of the broadband spectrum that it needs to operate. That growth could alter the mid-Michigan television landscape in the not-too-distant future. It means that TV stations, including those operated by WKAR, could stop broadcasting. On Friday, the Michigan State University Board of Trustees, which oversees WKAR television and radio, voted to give University President Luanna Simon the authority to participate in an auction that could lead to the transfer of the WKAR-TV spectrum to other entities like wireless companies. President Simon has until January 12th to decide whether to involve the WKAR-TV stations. The Federal Communications Commission values the bandwidth assigned to WKAR-TV at up to $206 million. Here to explain more of how this works and what it all means, MSU President Luanna Simon. Welcome back.
Well, good morning.
So I want to make sure I've got just the basic groundwork down right here. On one side, we have broadcast spectrum on which three TV signals operate, and on the other, we have the potential for a couple $100 million that might be derived from the auction of that spectrum. Is that that's at the heart of this? Do I have
that
right?
Technically, the spectrum is on loan to us from the federal government, with the Board of Trustees holding the license. And so this is an action by the FCC under a number of orders that people can look up and have numbers, order 1450, that would make more spectrum available through what is called a reverse auction and then a forward auction. And it's a relatively complicated process, but January 12th is simply a time in which we would keep our name in or out of the reverse auction.
And this is TV spectrum, not radio.
Not
Since
radio,
everyone's hearing so this on no, radio, we'll be clear about that.
Right. The radio would remain. WKR as call letters remain. The university would fully intend to provide content that is very similar to what goes over the air on TV through streaming, a development of content. So it's really the mode in which we transmit, not the content that the university might generate. And so then there's the question of how the community would get PBS content, and there's a commitment through the cables and others that they would make available PBS content, if not through us, through some other means.
Hmm. Well, talk to us about the key factors that you will take into consideration, you are taking into consideration when making this decision.
Well, obviously we have to look at our public commitment. And the question over the next 10 to 50 to 20 years, how will people get content? Will it be through traditional over-the-air TV? Will it be through computer streaming? What are the mechanisms as we think about cord cutters and all the things that are around us? And what does that look like? And how do we meet our public commitment within that context? A second factor is WKAR is part of the College of Communication Arts and Sciences. It was replaced in the college to assure that our students had the kind of educational experiences that would prepare them not simply for today's jobs, but for tomorrow's jobs. And that involves developing content and learning how to organize and make that content the most dramatic visually as well as audio compelling for various audiences, whether it's streaming on the phones or on big screen television. The third factor is really whether we believe over time that we have a fair and appropriate economic value. And the question then becomes, is it a fair value today? And is it a fair value or an increasing value over in the future if, in fact, there's another auction or sale? And then the fourth factor is with emerging technologies, we know that we can't not directly monetize the spectrum. It's not ours to monetize. So we can't sell it to a third party to use. We have to use it ourselves. The question is, with new technologies and new approaches, are there other things that we could use it for besides, because we have now if we don't sell, we have a very large bandwidth for other things that would be the new technological frontier. And that will have value to the university moving forward beyond what might be the current economic value.
Is it possible that the demand for broadband spectrum in 2016, let's say, is a lot higher than it might be in the future, and now would be an advantageous time to auction it off?
That's one of the factors.
Yeah.
On the other side,
that's the fair and appropriate value.
That's
piece.
The fair and appropriate value piece, because we also don't know if in a reverse auction, what the value will be assigned to the spectrum really, because what we know is that the $206-207 million is the top value. So it could decrease in value through the auction, because other bandwidth that's more desirable is up for sale and has been purchased.
Mm-hmm. Human nature being what it is, I mean, some number of people are going to be hearing this, and they're going to, you know, they are going to generate their response is going to be, don't even think about taking away my WKAR TV. And I know you've alluded to different modes of delivery,
right.
Content delivery here, but it seems like is part of your mission persuading those naysayers that the $200 million up to $200 million that the university could come into could be better spent than on transmitting TV programs the way they currently are.
I think if you think about $200 million and you make it as an endowment. And so that gives you $10 million annually to spend. And think about it in terms of what you could do with $10 million annually, because I think it's not prudent just to sort of get a windfall and spend it and then not have anything for the future. Because WKR, the content we produce, is an enduring asset. So the dollars that would need to be accrued from any auction needs to be an enduring asset. That's sort of my going in positions. That's about $10 million a year.
Is that at the heart of your effort to persuade any naysayers that might resist this move? Is that at the heart of it? What else do you intend to tell people who might resist this?
Well, but what we have to think about is what ways will they get content in the future? And if you assume that under a rubric of YouTube KR, or all the other means that are evolving to produce and deliver content, that the institution is committed to the production and the transmission of content as we always have. And the question is, what's the best way to do that if you're looking at it 20 years from now or 10 years from now? And could you use the assets from the no longer delivering it in a traditional TV mm-hmm. way, more appropriately, to assure that people have this kind of quality content moving forward in the future forever with an endowment.
Are households that don't have the internet a factor in this decision-making
process?
Well,
it has to be sort of looked through in terms of not only today, but, you know, what's the trajectory of people who are cutting cords in varieties of ways.
Mm-hmm. How big a factor will the public response be in your decision-making process?
Well, it'll be a factor along with all the other things we're trying to determine from consultants that we have who are looking at this from a national perspective. So we have scheduled two public comments, one on January 4th and one on January 11th. It'll be in the ComArts building at 6 p.m., room 147. In addition, there'll be a vehicle to be developed through WKR for the public to continue to provide comments. But after January 12th, we cannot respond by FCC rules. Oh. So there's a silent dead period. It doesn't stop people from commenting, we believe. But this is a very complicated legal process, and it wasn't designed for public entities. But these two opportunities we know fit before the deadline of January 12th, and then I'm sure there'll be other vehicles for people to send in their comments, but they can't expect a response after January 12th.
One is just the day before.
Right.
You need to make your decision, though.
Well, but we don't really need to make a decision on January 12th whether we sell or not. The decision on January 12th is simply whether we continue in the process, because at any time we could decide to pull out of the auction.
And what will determine the price here, or what will determine the dollar amount? I'm led to believe this might be like a closed bid auction type situation.
It's called a reverse auction, and so we do not conduct it. The FCC will conduct it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fully understand in what order they will auction off the various properties that they've identified from around the country, whether that'll be in geographic region or however they've determined greatest value and greatest need in terms of the volume of spectrum required to move the wireless communication forward. And then they will do that sometime, we think after March, but we're not sure about that date. And then they will conduct that. They will determine if there is a price that is being offered for our spectrum. We can decide at that point to say no. Mm-hmm. So it's not really January 12th as the drop-dead date. It's simply a date that we have to be able to say we're either in or we're out while we're further considering our options.
When it comes to a number, will it be your decision to accept or not to accept, or will the Board of Trustees also be involved in that process?
Well, we'll obviously be consulting the board, and we've talked about basic parameters, but technically the resolution makes that my decision.
Mm.
Mine to sign the piece of paper, I guess.
This has been on your plate, or on your radar at least, for some time. Are you leaning toward approving participation?
I think that it would be very difficult at this point in time, knowing what we know, to say that we shouldn't at least continue to explore. And I use the continue to explore the various options. We've been talking to some consultants around the country. We did eliminate the option of channel sharing, which is one of the three options available. Like the old days. And the reason for that is that there would be some money that would come from channel sharing to the university, but more importantly, the amount of bandwidth left for WKR would be, in our judgment, the judgment of the technical experts, insufficient for us to participate in the new technologies moving forward. Mm. And it's important for this for the community, our students to have the opportunity to always participate in those new technologies that we know are on the horizon. You can't always imagine what might be coming around the bend, but you should be able to plan for the things that you know are on the horizon. And there would not be sufficient bandwidth to do that as we understand it. So a decision has been made to not channel share. Beyond that, the either option of selling or keeping are still both very much open.
And clarify, please, is auctioning parts of the spectrum an option?
No.
No. It all goes away, or it all stays with us?
Right. In terms of the TV spectrum, the broadcast spectrum.
Is there a sensible case to be made that universities like Michigan State simply should not be in the TV business? I mean, you hear of big companies all the time shedding divisions, unloading entire companies that are not really in their wheelhouse. Can a similar case be made in this instance?
I think the university has a responsibility from its educational programs to deliver content. And I think we have a responsibility to make content broadly available publicly. The question about whether or not that's through a TV moving forward in the next 50 years is what we're really discussing, not our public commitment to content or our educational commitment to having exciting opportunities for our students. So it's really how that will happen in the future and what's the best way for the university to position itself to do both of those missions. If you look at major universities around the country, AAU universities that have stellar comm arts and sciences programs and have stellar community outreach programs, many of them don't have a TV station that they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So that what much we know. But how we think through then the way in which we'll provide content and meet our public obligation, particularly in this area, is really part of the challenge.
I mean, people think of WKAR-TV, they think of programs like Frontline, Nova, all kinds of really high quality PBS programming.
Right.
Do you realistically envision a day when those quality programs are simply transmitted through the internet then?
Well, some of them already are.
Yeah.
And if you look at the decisions that have been recently made about Sesame Street, you'll know that the approach is changing. How it will change and how fast it will change, it's the kind of thing that you think a lot about and try to make sure that you position yourself in the right way. But those programs as well, there's nothing in the technology that precludes a cable network from picking up a different PBS station to provide Nova and that kind of content through, say, a cable. It's very difficult to do that over the air for those people who are not on cable.
We're down to just 30 seconds. Is MSU under any pressure from the commission, from the FCC or the feds to let the auction happen? Is there subtle or overt pressure to move forward with this?
No, I think it's an opportunity that you have to look at very, very carefully, both in terms of what we're doing now in content and delivery and penetration to the community in terms of people who have accessed information, but also what the resources could do to leverage further education and access by the public in new and different ways as the 21st century unfolds. So it's not about not having a commitment. It's a matter of how that commitment is delivered.
President Lou Anna Simon, who has until January 12th to decide whether to involve the WKAR-TV stations in an auction that could surrender its broadband spectrum to other entities.
Right. Again, I think that the 12th is simply keeping your name on a list. It's not deciding to sell.
Understood. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do. Happy holidays.
Thank you.